Well, both those passages are in your service sheet, actually also in the coloured sheet, so you've got a choice, but the service sheet is slightly bigger print, easier to read. A couple of introductory sentences before we get into the meat of this. This is one of the six top questions we ask lots of people all the way across Maidenhead, friends, relations. What were your top questions that you would ask to God if you met him? This is one of those top six, and in the coloured sheets, don't let it distract you now, but there's a printout of a whole range of questions in this general topic area. So we can't cover everything now. I'm aiming to do something by way of a discussion starter and to show something of what the Christian answer is to this question. Also me, I did 10 years of university level physics and medical physics, and I think that affects, I've done sort of 10 years of working full-time for a church, but I still like to test things and question things. And I think that sort of affects how I look at these questions. So as we go, as we have a look at this question, why are there so many religions? Which is a great question, sort of a fair observation of the world. I need you to come with me and pretend you're sort of an alien from outer space or a scientific observer. Those two aren't the same thing. But observing society and thinking what it could be my reason, what could be the answer for this question? Why are there so many religions? And then along the way, I hope to present something of the Christian answer. So if you were an alien, if you came to observe our society, what would you see? Well, you would see that religion has been part of all cultures as long as there has been culture. You would see that in all over the world, there are various gods, temples, ways of doing things, holy people, holy teachings. And you would see others who say that they're not part of a religion, but who do strange things. Is this me? Is it this? Touch wood. Team walking under ladders, numbers of magpies, black cats, etc., etc. In all cultures, for all people, there's an appeal to something beyond what we can just see and touch, a desire to work out who we are, where we're going, how to have a life of meaning. Religions. So why so many religions? Let's just quickly think about the word religion. I know a lot of Christians who say that they're not religious. They're about a relationship. I'm still being attacked by something. Religious. Because they're about a relationship with God the Father as a child of God because of what Jesus has achieved for them and experienced by the Spirit. So what is a religion? Let's turn to the great oracle, Wikipedia. Religion is a cultural system of behaviours and practices, worldviews, ethics, and social organisation that relate humanity to an order of existence. About 84% of the world's population is affiliated with one of the five largest religions: Christianity, Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, or forms of kind of local folk religion. So I'd like to simplify it for us this afternoon. I want us to think of aspects of kind of worship or belief and aspects of kind of doing or sincerity. Why so many religions? Our alien scientist asks. Something about the urge to worship and something about sincerely following something. Let's think about worship and belief first. Current examples of worship, belief. They might be kind of worshipping celebrity. We know many examples of people who are now famous for being famous, not for doing anything necessarily, but just amazing to be famous. They have followers. They have fashions. They have pronouncements that people listen to. Is that worship? What about self-worship? Think about something like Facebook. I use Facebook, I think it's broadly a good thing. But what are we doing when we do Facebook? We collect a people of friends These are the people to whom we can proclaim an image of self. We can worry if we don't have enough followers. We can worry if we make a pronouncement or share a picture of our children doing something jolly and don't get enough likes. Is that worship? What about being in or following a team? Think of a sports team. It can often involve gathering in a particular way, joining together, singing, the right behaviours, the right words, something that feels like a spiritual experience. As an undergraduate, I went to watch Oxford United. I can't remember now why, but there was some friends of us who went, and we were at one end, and in the second half, we were behind the opposition's goal. And we were winning, which was relatively unusual, and we were winning convincingly. So after a while, when a goal went in at the goal mouth and their goalie had picked it out, we started singing, "Goalie, give us a score, goalie, goalie, give us a score, goalie," until it broke his spirit and he'd go, "3," and we all go, "Yeah!" And then another one would go in and we'd start up, "Goalie, give us a score, 4, yeah!" We got up to 5 goals. It was brilliant. It was joyful. It was like a release. It was like a shared worshipful experience. Or imagine coming with me on a walk, turning a corner and seeing a glorious view or vista open up. At this point, you can choose what you want. Is it mountains, seaside, jungle, a herd of wildebeest sweeping across a plain? Choose one of those, but you've come with me, you turn a corner, and it all opens up in front of you. What do you do? Do you go quiet? Do you kind of shriek and grab a friend? "Come and look at this! This is amazing!" Is that worship? When we want to share, want to see something, it just touches us in that way. Families with new babies and this new miracle of life in front of them. So often, even if religion has not been part of anything, they want to give thanks to something beyond. They want to come to church or pray or something. Or maybe even sad times, suffering, bereavement, funerals. It's a real time of importance where we think, is there something beyond? Who can I pray to? Who can I ask for help? What does this mean? Worship. As an alien looking in on humanity, they would see you, me, wired for worship. They would see nearly all humanity through history that thought about something beyond, beyond this life, its suffering and death, its fears and limitations. And if you're here and you don't believe in a God, you need to test that and think, why do I think that so many people through so many time want to worship? God's word in the Bible says we are made by God for God out of his love to experience him in love. We're made in the image of God to look after the world, live in community with each other and love and worship God. It's written into the way we are made, Christians believe, to seek God. And that, for that scientific observer, would start to explain all this worship going on. It's how we're made. Christian worship is primarily a response of belief and worship of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, revealed to us. And we have that famous verse, verse 16, down there in front of you. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." This is the one who we worship and believe in. So that's worship and belief. Let's pass on now to doings and sincerity. An alien, a scientist, would see that what is important is not just kind of worship and believing in something out there, but it's something about a changed life because of it. A sincerity acted out, if you will. By and large, we put a high value on integrity. We react strongly against hypocrisy, those who say something but do something else, don't we? Deceit. We like sincerity acted out. So let's scan various religions and see what this looks like. There's lots of doing. Hinduism has a word, I think, dharma, which is about the duty to the gods, which you carry out, what you do in order to earn their goodness. It has the idea of karma, that idea of kind of doing good to others, good coming rounds, reincarnation, kind of doing laps, quite hopefully getting better and better until you escape from the restrictions of this world. Buddhism comes out of Hinduism. There was someone called Siddhartha who thought about suffering. He thought about reincarnation. He thought about trying to remove the possessions of this world, remove yourself from all the ties. How do you get rid of suffering? He realized that quite a lot of it is to do with selfishness. And there are 8 steps to reduce your attachments to the selfishness of this world and gradually disappear into nirvana. He became the first of the several Buddhas. Islam, you'll know, centers in and around the teachings of Prophet Muhammad. The word Muslim means submit to God, and there's lots of doings, the 5 pillars. One of them is to declare publicly there's one God and his chief prophet Muhammad. One is to do the 5 lots of prayers throughout the day. Another to do giving to the poor, to do the Ramadan fast, and to do a pilgrimage, a Hajj, to Mecca. Christianity is about following Jesus Christ as Lord, listening to his teachings, trusting in his death and resurrection to bring us to God. It can be summarized often as loving God with all your heart, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And an alien would conclude rightly, sincerity is highly regarded in all these religions. More efforts, more following that way. Also, at this stage already, not all religions can lead to God. A number of the questions we were asked were to do with that. Do all religions lead to God? Are they all kind of going in the right, same sort of direction in the end? And we already see something like Buddhism denies a personal God at all, whereas Christianity talks about God the Father, who welcomes us as children. They can't all be paths en route. We'll come back to that. But we start to see the problem here, because sincerity is great, but you can be sincerely wrong. And I can be sincerely wrong. Sincerity is not enough. I've arrived relatively recently from Devon, God's own wonderful earth or something like that. And if I said to you, come with me into my car and we're going to go to Devon, I'll show you kind of the heights of Dartmoor, the beautiful beaches of Torquay where I grew up. And we got and you came, yeah, that sounds brilliant, Dave. And we got on our car, we went down the M4, and then we turn right and start heading north. Now, you're British, you'll leave it for a bit. But after a while, you'll tap me on the shoulder and say, Dave, where did you say we're going? I say, oh, I'll bring you to Devon, it's going to be brilliant. They say, well, I don't think it's this direction. Well, if I started saying, oh, you know, I sincerely believe it's this direction. Oh, I know Devon, I'm looking forward to Devon, and I sincerely believe you just get past Birmingham, Manchester, and then we'll get there. You're kind, you're nice. You leave it for a minute or two, but Dave, no, this isn't the way to Devon. I could explain to you how sincerely I believe in this, but I'd be wrong. It wouldn't help us at all. Or any kind of exam question where you kind of, I'm sure we've all done this, you've sincerely believed that this and this and this is the answer. But it's actually important whether it's right or wrong. Different religions are contradictory. There are so many religions, so many sincere people. It's really controversial to claim truth for just one. And so there are many pictures that try and solve this. You may have heard of the kind of, surely God is one mountain and there are many paths leading to the one God. Or maybe there's the one elephant, many parts. There's a story told of this big elephant in the room and blindfolded kind of people. They go up and they feel a different bit. One feels the tail and says, surely it's a snake. Another one feels a leg and says, surely it's a tree. Another one feels a tusk and says, surely it's a whatever a tusk feels like. Surely it's like that. We're all scrabbling in the dark. Or maybe even you prefer sort of just one cruise liner. We're all going in the right direction. We're just on different decks, and different religions are different ways of looking at this. But Christianity blows that kind of accommodation away. Look with me at these verses in John 1 that's in your service sheet. It's about Jesus. So when he says the word, later on in John, you will see that's Jesus. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. He was with God in the beginning. Verse 3, through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. There's a picture up to help me understand this. You draw a line down the middle of the room, and on one side is everything that's been made. Mountains, trees, natural things, animals, fish, you, me, people, everything that has been made. And on this side of the line is everything that has not been made. Creator, God.
this verse challenges us. What do we do with Jesus? Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Jesus' claim is to be this side of the line, to be involved in creation itself. And that is a really striking thing. What are you going to do with Jesus? So let's come back to our selection of world religions. Islam has a very high place for Jesus. He says he's a holy prophet. But Jesus claims to be God, the Son of God shown for us. Hinduism often has Jesus as another god amongst many gods. We heard Carney talking about kind of liberal, inclusive view. But Jesus claims to be the way, the truth, and the life. He is strongly against any claims for any other gods. Judaism, Jews have kind of ignored Jesus' claims to be the Messiah. Jesus says, I fulfill all the law and the prophets. In Buddhism, Jesus is a wise teacher on the way to nirvana. But Jesus introduces us to a personal Father God. And we know that many in the world describe Jesus as a wise man of peace. They like his teachings. But Jesus says, and he says it here in chapter 3, verse 18, believe in me to be saved or otherwise be condemned. An alien, a scientific observer of us, would find it impossible to make all these claims agree. And they'd have to work out what to do with this person, Jesus. And then our observer spots something about the religions themselves. Do you remember all the things that we need to do? Islam, the five pillars that we need to do. Hinduism, the karma and reincarnation that we need to do. Buddhism, the eight steps we need to do. All these doings. And we come to Christianity and we find again and again that it's centered on what God has done. We cannot do it ourselves. We are prone to mess up our lives and to deliberate wrongdoing, to selfishness, pride, no matter how hard we try to be nice. And as I look out, I see lots of lovely, nice people. But I am sure that if we took pictures of all the things that we've said and thought about people when we thought no one was listening this week, we'd be embarrassed. We wouldn't want other people to know. If we're going to stand worthy with any confidence before God, we need a new start. We need someone to deal with the wrongs we've been responsible for. We need a rescue. And that's the central message of Christianity. Jesus came. He showed us God. He spoke of God. He did miracles to show who he was. And he died. And he died for us. And he died to take sin, which is kind of a technical word we sometimes use in church. I think of sort of the three letters, S-I-N. I think of it saying, shove off God, I'm in charge, and no to your commands. We often think of that last bit, sin is kind of breaking rules. But actually, it's much more about a broken relationship between us and God. It's saying, shove off God, I'm going to decide what to do with my life. And this sin gets in between us and God. But Jesus came as a perfect man, living faithfully for God every day, and he died to take these things on him. So that if we turn and trust in him, we may truly know God and know what it is to be children of God. And Jesus rose again from the dead so that we might be sure. John 3:16 again. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. That's the language of kind of giving him in our place. He gave his one and only son. That whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Notice that this means that we need to be humble enough to admit that we need help. But it's such good news, isn't it? As it, our attempts and failures to follow the rules to get to God, they turn into a rescue to bring you to God. As the efforts and then the mess ups to lead a worthy life become the freedom of a free gift of acceptance and presence of God, helping us live for him if we turn and trust in Jesus. So we're certainly not saying we're all on one cruise line or all heading in the same direction. Just pick the deck, the religion you want to be on. We're saying that there's one lifeboat for a crashing cruise liner in trouble. Jesus says, believe in me. He's not even saying, here's how to build your own lifeboat. He's saying he's the lifeboat to bring you into God's loving presence. Verse 17 and 18 there of chapter 3. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. Whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Why so many religions? Because we're made to worship and because we prize sincerity. But we can be sincerely wrong. Christ controversially claims to be the only lifeboat, the only rescue to God. And this is a central idea, and it's unique to Christianity, this idea that God has done for us, not that you need to do and get up that path to God or find your way to understand the elephant. But God has come to us in Jesus. It leads us to an interesting note. If you are someone who'd say they were an atheist, you don't believe in God, it's more of a challenge for you than for me as a Christian. C.S. Lewis, a famous writer who came from atheism and became a Christian, he writes about how atheists have to fight hard to disbelieve something that so many other people believe. He says, if you are a Christian, you do not have to believe that all the other religions are simply wrong in every aspect. If you're an atheist, you do have to believe that the main point in all the religions of the whole world is simply one huge mistake. If you're a Christian, you are free to think that all those religions can contain at least some hint of the truth. But of course, being a Christian does mean thinking that where Christianity differs from other religions, Christianity is right and they are wrong. Maybe understand it like this. A drowning person in a lake. They're drowning, they're going down 2, 3, 4 times. And around the lake is a number of people shouting out instructions. Here's how you swim, here's how to do it, here's how to swim. But they're different directions, and sometimes they're contradictory directions, and it's confusing and it's not helpful. What we need is someone to come and rescue us. And that's what Christianity is about. Jesus who came to rescue. Other religions, we need to be humble enough to see some of God's truth in all sorts of different places, but where they're not just wrong on kind of different details, a different path. They're vitally wrong on how to take our place as God's sons and daughters, because God has done it in Jesus. He does not say, do to get to me. There are a variety of other questions. There were questions on religious tolerance and how do we all get on together. We've already reminded as Christians that we need to be humble, to be able to see some of God's truth, to be rebuked by people. Maybe not tolerate. I don't always quite like the tolerate word. I don't want to be tolerated like a vegetable you'd really rather not eat, but you're prepared to put up with to be polite. That's what we tolerate. I want to be respected. I want to respect other people enough to listen to them and to engage with them. But if we need a rescuer, we need a rescuer. Not another list of things to do and try to be, in order to help ourselves. There are other questions about local cultures. What if you were born in this place? What about children? What about them? Well, God judges by faith in and a relationship with him. And we've already seen Christianity says that we need his help with this. We cannot do it ourselves. Children often show the way in this. They're very willing to just receive. If you give a child a present, you'll know this. They go, thank you very much, and go off. They don't try and repay you. They don't say, oh, I must owe you a present back. And they're very good at trusting others to do for them. But it's very hard for us, self-reliant, proud people. We desire to earn our way in this world, don't we? And the next. We think our efforts should be rewarded. It's very hard to ask for help. Until we see who God is and what God has done for us in Jesus, it's very hard to ask for help. It's very hard to be assured of forgiveness and God's love until we see this story of Jesus come for us. And that is why we go and tell them. That is why we don't just leave them to it. We go and tell them about Jesus because it is such good news. Before I wrap up, one last note about certainty. It can seem quite arrogant to claim to be certain of one way one faith. But I think we like certainty sometimes. I like certainty when it becomes very important. Think of going on a plane on your holidays. The pilot comes on the tannoy. He says, we're going to be taking off at this time. We're going to be cruising at whatever it is, 1,000 feet. And we're going to be landing in this place. He's certain, and that's good. Imagine instead the voice, well, I'm not sure about this, and I'll give it a good go. There's certain different ways of doing this, but I'll try and take off, and we'll fly where we can. Maybe we'll arrive in the right place. And as for landing, you don't want to hear that. You want certainty. Certainty on the big things. And you know what? Who God is one of the big things. Let's try and get certain on this. Find out what God says. It's controversial, but it's clear, and it's such good news. We do not have a dictator God making us to follow demanding rules. Or we don't have kind of this force out there to be joined with if you do enough good to escape this world. God is a loving Father who sent his Son into the world to die for us, that we might know life as his children experienced by his Spirit. Why so many religions? Good question. And your worldview needs to explain this, the observations of our friendly alien scientists about worship, about sincerity, about the sheer variety of kind of beliefs. Christians read the Bible and find that God says we were made to worship God for fullness of life and a place in God's love. We were made to live for God and to let God do for us in Christ. So what are you going to do with Jesus, Son of God, revealing God to us uniquely? What are you going to do with Jesus, who died for you and rose again, that you may have life in God? It's challenging, but it's such good news. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. Whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. On the back of these, or on postcards at the back, there's details of a course we run called Christianity Explored. It's just a way to check it out, just a place to bring more questions, to challenge, to hear the good news, and to question it and test it at every point. Please come and find out more about this God, man, Jesus, who so many all over the world and throughout history know as their Lord and Saviour.